Psalm 68, verses 7 to 18. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance. O God, you shed abroad, you restored your inheritance as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. The kings of the armies, they flee. The women at home divide the spoil. Though you men lie among the sheepfolds, the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with shimmering gold, when the Almighty scatters kings there, let snow fall on Zalmon. O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan, why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, at the mountain that God desired for his abode, yes, where the Lord will dwell forever? The chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Now, when we began our study of Psalm 68, we said that there are many parallels in this psalm with the Song of Deborah, which is found in Judges chapter 5. David was a man after God's own heart who knew God's word, and David writes this psalm using the scriptures that he had. The emphasis in Psalm 68 is on God's mighty acts on behalf of Israel. The Lord hears their cry in Egypt, and he also heard their cry when they were dwelling in the promised land that he had given them. He allowed them to go through oppression from the enemy because of their own sins. God used their enemies to chastise them, but when they cried out to him for mercy and for forgiveness, God heard them, God forgave them, and delivered them. And God promises that he himself will dwell and reign from Mount Zion. We also noted that Psalm 68 is messianic, and the Apostle Paul quotes verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8, and he applies it to the ascension of Christ. Psalm 68 verse 18, you ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. And in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8, Paul quotes Psalm 68 verse 18, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Now this psalm is a jubilant hymn of praise to Jehovah. And in this psalm, the nation of Israel gives four expressions of victory. You find four expressions of victory which they received through their God. They received victory because God fought their battles. And David records this. First, he says, our God is coming to us. Psalm 68 verses 1 to 6. Then he says, our God is marching before us. Psalm 68 verses 7 to 18. Number 3, our God is dwelling with us. Psalm 68 verses 19 to 27. And number 4, our God receives universal tribute. Verses 28 to 35 of Psalm 68. Now we looked at the first 6 verses in our last study when we began the study of the psalm. And now we will look at verses 7 to 18, which is the text that we just read this evening. Our God is marching before us. Verses 7 to 18. In verse 7 and 8, David says, O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. David reviewed the triumphant march of Israel, beginning with their exodus from Egypt and the journey to Sinai. We read of this in Exodus chapter 12, right up to Exodus chapter 19. And God tells Moses in Exodus 19 verse 9, And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." Exodus 19 verse 16, "On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled." The entire process of deliverance from Egypt to Mount Sinai was spectacular. The earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Psalm 68 verses 9 and 10. "Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy." Now, the rain can be taken literally, but it might also refer to the manna that came down 6 days a week. You see, God not only delivered his people from Egypt, he also provided for the needs of his people. Psalm 78 verse 24, "And he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven." Psalm 78 verse 27, "He rained meat on them like dust, winged birds like the sands of the sea." So, our God not only delivers us from the enemy, our God provides for our needs. Exodus chapter 16 verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." The Lord then brought them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Exodus chapter 3 verse 8. "And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites." In Deuteronomy chapter 11 verses 10 to 12 we read, "For the land that you are entering to take possession of it is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven. A land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year." Then Israel entered the land and conquered it. We read of that in verses 9 to 14 of Psalm 68. Because the Lord spoke the word. It was because the Lord spoke the word of victory. Psalm 68 verse 11. I read to you verses 9 to 14 and then I'll read verse 11. Psalm 68 verses 9 to 14. I'm reading now from the New King James Version. "You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home divides the spoil. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon." Israel conquered the land because it was God who spoke the word of victory. Psalm 68 verse 11. "The Lord gives the word, and a great army brings the good news." God had promised Israel that they would take the land, and they did. Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 to 33. It's a long passage. I'll read to you from the New Living Translation. "See, I am sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place I have prepared for you. Pay close attention to him and obey his instructions. Do not rebel against him, for he is my representative and he will not forgive your rebellion. But if you are careful to obey him, following all my instructions, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and I will oppose those who oppose you. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites and Jebusites, so you may live there. And I will destroy them completely. You must not worship the gods of these nations or serve them in any way or imitate their evil practices. Instead, you must utterly destroy them and smash their sacred pillars. You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives. I will send my terror ahead of you and create panic among all the people whose lands you invade. I will make all your enemies turn and run. I will send terror ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals would multiply and threaten you. I will drive them out a little at a time until your population has increased enough to take possession of the land. And I will fix your boundaries from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea and from the eastern wilderness to the Euphrates River. I will hand over to you the people now living in the land, and you will drive them out ahead of you. Make no treaties with them or their gods. They must not live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me. If you serve their gods, you will be caught in the trap of idolatry. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Again, a long passage, verses 22 to 32. But it's important. We must understand what God did for them, how God delivered them, and how God placed them in the land of Canaan. Be careful to obey all these commands I'm giving you. Show love to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and holding tightly to him. Then the Lord will drive out all the nations ahead of you, though they are much greater and stronger than you, and you will take over their land. Wherever you set foot, that land will be yours. Your frontiers will stretch from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the north, and from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you, for the Lord your God will cause the people to fear and dread you, as he promised, wherever you go in the whole land. Look, today I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, but you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. When the Lord your God brings you into the land and helps you take possession of it, you must pronounce a blessing at Mount Gerizim and the curse at Mount Ebal. These two mountains are west of the Jordan River in the land of the Canaanites who live in the Jordan Valley, near the town of Gilgal, not far from the Oaks of Moreh. For you are about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you take that land and are living in it, you must be careful to obey all the decrees and regulations I am giving you today. Psalm 68 verses 11 and 12. The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. The kings of the armies, they flee. The women at home divide the spoil. Now just as it was at the Exodus, it was the women who sang the praises of the Lord. Psalm 68 verses 25 to 26. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them, virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain. We also see this in the song of Deborah in Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5 verses 3 to 5. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, to the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water. The mountains quake before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, Bible students have long been puzzled by verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 68, and they don't always agree on their translations or their interpretations. Psalm 68 verses 13 and 14, Though you men lie among the sheepfolds, the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with shimmering gold, when the Almighty scatters kings there, let snow fall on Zalmon. The New King James Version reads, Psalm 68 verses 13 to 14, Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, You will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. There certainly appears to be a reference to the Song of Deborah in Judges chapter 5 verses 15 to 18, where Deborah shamed Reuben for staying home and not fighting the enemy, but praised Benjamin, the tribes of Benjamin, Zebulun, and Naphtali for joining the battle. Judges chapter 5 verses 15 to 18. The princes of Issachar came with Deborah, and Issachar faithful to Barak. Into the valley they rushed at his heels. Among the clans of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Why did you sit still among the sheepfolds to hear the whistling for the flocks? Among the clans of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan and Dan. Why did he stay with the ships? Asher sat still at the coast of the sea, staying by his landings. Zebulun is a people who risked their lives to the death. Naphtali too, on the heights of the field. These three tribes are commended in Psalm 68 verse 27. But we don't know of any tribes that failed to participate in the conquering of Canaan. All tribes participated in the conquering of Canaan. Psalm 68 verse 27, there is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead, the princes of Judah in their throng, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. The New Living Translation interprets verses 12 to 14 of Psalm 68 like this. Psalm 68 verses 12 to 14. Enemy kings and their armies flee, while the women of Israel divide the plunder. Even those who lived among the sheepfolds found treasures, doves with wings of silver and feathers of gold. The Almighty scattered the enemy kings like a blowing snowstorm on Mount Zalmon. I think that's a good interpretation. Israel is compared to a turtle dove in Psalm 74 verse 19. Psalm 74 verse 19. Don't let these wild beasts destroy your turtle doves. Don't forget your suffering people forever. But God conquered Canaan not only to give his people a home, but also to secure a home for himself. It says here that he chose Mount Zion, though it was much smaller and less imposing than Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon was the highest mountain there in Israel, which is over 9,000 feet high, perhaps the highest mountain in Palestine. David pictured the other mountains showing jealousy because they weren't selected. God selected Mount Zion, Psalm 68 verses 15 to 16. The mountains of Bashan are majestic, with many peaks stretching high into the sky. Why do you look with envy, O rugged mountains, at Mount Zion, where God has chosen to live, where the Lord himself will live forever? You see, God made a temporary visit to his people when he came down on Mount Sinai. Psalm 68 verse 17. Surrounded by unnumbered thousands of chariots, the Lord came from Mount Sinai into his sanctuary. But Zion, Mount Zion, Jerusalem, that was to be God's permanent dwelling place. Psalm 132 verses 13 and 14. For the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. He has desired it for his home. This is my resting place forever, he said. I will live here, for this is the home I desired. In 1 Kings chapter 8 verses 12 to 13. Then Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have indeed built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever. Mount Zion, Jerusalem. Psalm 68 verse 17. Surrounded by unnumbered thousands of chariots, the Lord came from Mount Sinai into his sanctuary. Now the chariots of God make up God's heavenly army. Remember, he is the Lord of hosts. Psalm 46 verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And there's a reminder again in the same Psalm. Psalm 46 verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When God took Elijah up to heaven, we read in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11. And as they still went on and talked, that is Elijah and Elisha, they were talking to each other. And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. When Elisha prayed, that God would open the eyes of his servant to see the heavenly host, because the servant was so afraid of the enemy. 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 15 to 17. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter cut off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, Jesus healed Malchus. He put back the ear. John 18 verse 10. Then Simon Peter having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. I think he was aiming for his neck, but he got only the ear. Then Simon Peter having a sword drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. What did the Lord do? The Lord rebukes Peter and said, Matthew 26 verses 52 to 53, then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" We must never forget that there are angelic hosts ministering to us all the time. All the time. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Psalm 68 verse 18. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. To ascend on high means to win the victory and to return in triumph. Psalm 47 verses 1 to 7. Clap your hands, all people, shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord the Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. Some think this refers to a time when the ark was in the field with the army and then brought back to the sanctuary on Zion. Joab, the husband of Bathsheba, tells David, remember in 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 11, Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah dwell in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing." Paul quotes verse 18 of Psalm 68 in Ephesians 4 verse 8. We read that earlier. I read to you again. When referring to the ascension of Christ, he says in Ephesians 4 verse 8, "Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." A king ascending the throne both receives and gives gifts. And even those who reject him will honor him outwardly. Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, he says in Acts chapter 2 verse 30 to 36, "Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they spoke in tongues. Verse 34. "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. That is what happened on the cross. He crushed the head of the serpent on the cross, and third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he pours out his spirit upon us. Now how does Psalm 68 verses 7 to 18, which we just looked into, how does this apply to us? Just look at what Jesus has done for us. We as children of God, we are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we stand on victory ground because he has raised us up to victory. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 to 6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, we see what Jesus has done for us. We see what he did for us on the cross. We see how he has given us victory. He has raised us up to victory. He has gone before us. Psalm 68 verse 7. He has gone before us. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness. Psalm 68 verse 7. You see, wherever you are today, if you are in the will of God, he has already gone before you. The picture here is of the nation of Israel going through the wilderness. God did not expect the Israelites to figure out all the logistics of the whole journey by themselves. No. How did he lead them? He led them by the pillar of cloud by day and by the pillar of fire by night. The Lord himself was with them. The angel of the Lord is the Lord himself. The ark of the covenant, the very presence of the Lord, went before them. He has also gone before us, and he has borne our sins on the cross. When Israel fought the battles, the ark of the covenant, the very presence of the Lord, always went before them. He has also gone before us. He bore our sins on the cross. Then he has gone above us. You have ascended on high. Psalm 68 verse 18. The Lord Jesus has ascended to glory, and he is seated there at the right hand of the Father in majesty. He who went before us to win the victory on the cross has now gone above us to share the victory with us. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 18 to 23. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now what has happened? He dwells among us by his spirit. Notice the end of Psalm 68. Psalm 68 verse 18. That the Lord God might dwell among them. John 14 verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That is the Holy Spirit. He has poured out the Holy Spirit upon us who believe. John 16 verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And what is he doing? Dwelling among us, his people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. What is he doing? He is giving gifts to his people. Ephesians 4 verse 8. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. It is a picture of the king, the conqueror, distributing the spoil. Just look at how wealthy you and I are because we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has finished the work for us on the cross, and he has risen from the dead. He has ascended, seated at the right hand of God the Father, pouring out the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit so that we can live a life to the fullness, the way that God wants us to live, victorious. Now the question is, will you trust the victor today? Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are rich today. We are wealthy today. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So, we do not lack any resource to do God's will. All that you and I need to do is find out what God's will is for our lives. And once we know what God wants us to do, because we are saved by grace through faith in Him, He has good works that He has foreordained before the foundation of the world was laid for us to do. And once we get to know what He wants us to do, He fills us with every resource that we need to do it. And God freely shares with you the spoils of His victory at the cross. As a child of God bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you never need to live defeated in this life because you stand on victory ground. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?